there are certain times, certain dates, certain things in everybody's life that are really important, are really significant, have special meaning. And for me, for this week in my life, it's really, really significant. Wednesday just gone marks the 20th anniversary of a day in my life when I had literally minutes left to live. And I want to share this morning really in two halves. First of all, the story of what happened 20 years ago. And then in the second half, something more up to date. It was the 7th of March, 1992, and I'd been to a men's breakfast at Elim Church in Southport, which is where I was attending at the time. After breakfast, most of the men had agreed to stay on behind and help with some jobs that needed doing in the church buildings. I stayed for a while, but I couldn't stay all morning because apparently, or so I said to some of the people there, I needed to drive into Liverpool to do something or get something from the office where I was working. At the time, I was newly qualified as a legal executive, and I was based with a firm of solicitors on James Street in Liverpool, right opposite the law courts on Derby Square. Apparently, it was about 11:15 when I set off, but I can't actually remember leaving or anything about that journey. All I do know is that 5 minutes before reaching my destination, while still on the dock road just outside Liverpool, the car spun violently out of control. It turned 180 degrees in the road. It was facing completely the opposite direction. Then it slid sideways back across both of the carriageways into the same position where it had come from. And then it crashed into the corner of the wall that used to surround Bancor Fire Station. 90 degrees of solid brickwork came straight through the side of the car, exactly at the point where I was sitting in the driver's seat. In days before, they used to have side impact bars and secondary safety measures and airbags and things like that. There was nothing to cushion the blow. I felt the full force of that impact. The whole side of the car caved in, and it left me unconscious, trapped inside the wreckage and bleeding to death. There I was on the dock road, less than 5 minutes from the city centre, just before 12 o'clock noon on a Saturday lunchtime. You can imagine how busy that road normally gets, with shoppers going into town, parents taking their kids to places, people visiting the carpet or the furniture warehouses on the industrial estates nearby, various car dealerships and showrooms, to say nothing of the amount of football traffic. But at the time of that crash, right at that moment, there wasn't another single person to be seen. No cars, no trucks, motorbikes, taxis, buses, cyclists, pedestrians, nothing. The fire crew from Bank Hall could have been anywhere at that point, busy out dealing with a fire or some other kind of emergency, but they weren't. Nobody had witnessed that crash, but from inside the fire station they certainly heard it, and a few seconds later they came rushing out to see what had happened. They couldn't believe what they were met with. Rushing straight back inside to grab oxygen tanks from their breathing equipment, heavy cutting gear, and emergency first aid, they rushed to my help and began trying to free me from the wreckage. Somebody radioed ahead for an ambulance. I was bleeding so badly they couldn't really assess the extent of my injuries. So the decision was made that the priority was really just to get me out. I'd already stopped breathing, but I still had a pulse. That's pretty much as they knew. Well, I found out afterwards that if both lungs collapse, apparently there's only a 3-minute window to reinflate them. Anything longer is normally fatal. Thank God that the firemen already had breathing equipment at their disposal and they knew exactly how to use it. Well, the paramedics arrived soon afterwards, just as I was being freed from the car. No one could quite believe I'd even survived up till that point, but there was certainly no guarantee I was going to survive the journey to the hospital. They worked quickly to get me into the ambulance as fast as they could, and police had also been contacted by that stage. As the ambulance sped away, a patrol car was already en route to my parents' home in Formby, where a policeman would soon knock on the door and tell my father the sort of news that no parent ever wants to hear. Your son has been involved in a serious car accident. His condition is critical. His injuries are extensive. It may be fatal. You should go to Walton Hospital immediately. Rushing down the hall to grab her coat and flee through the door, my mother sensed a prompting she knew could only possibly have been from God. She felt a prompting to pick up the phone and make a frantic call to somebody from their church. Graham's had a serious car accident, she told them. His condition is critical. It may be fatal. We're on the way to Walton Hospital now. Please tell people to pray. As the minutes passed, she knew that more and more people would be receiving that message. And indeed, the whole church was quickly mobilized in prayer. Every traffic light seemed to be on red. She prayed some of them to green. She cried, she prayed, she feared, she hoped. Then she cried and prayed some more. After a journey that seemed to take forever, eventually she arrived and they rushed into the hospital wanting to know only one thing. Was I still alive? A nurse told them that the doctors were still with me, but that they'd come back with news as soon as they could. I was wheeled away for a brain scan, which thankfully revealed absolutely no damage. And then I was taken straight to intensive care. There, at last, my parents were allowed to see me. Now, the doctors began to explain the severity of the injuries that I'd suffered. I'd broken every single rib in my body, fractured my pelvis, severed part of my right ear. I'd sustained a severe blow to the head. I was unconscious. I had massive internal bleeding, and I'd punctured both lungs. My left lung had air in the wrong compartment, and my right lung was filled with blood. I was wrapped in foil because my body temperature had dropped dangerously low, and I was being given the first of many, many pints of blood to replace the ones that I'd lost. Yes, I was stable. My vital signs were okay, but I was on a ventilator. If I survived the trauma from those injuries, the doctors expected me to be on the ventilator and in the intensive care unit for 3 weeks. But nobody was willing to comment on my chances. All the doctors would say were things like, he's young, he's stable, he's strong, and he's a non-smoker. No one would say the words that my mother wanted to hear. Your son will live. Well, they were taken to a relative's room, four walls that they became very familiar with over the next few days. But about 9 o'clock that night, the doctors came with some fantastic news. They'd been able to take me off that ventilator. Oh, I still required oxygen, and I'd undoubtedly need the ventilator again, but at that moment, I'd begun to breathe again on my own. 3 weeks on a ventilator? Is that what the doctor said? Nothing is impossible for God. I never went back on it. An hour later, about 10 o'clock that night, the doctors decided I was stable enough for an ear, nose and throat surgeon to try micro-stitching my ear. In casualty, they'd roughly put it back together, but this lady was going to do it again really, really carefully to reduce any potential scarring. It was going to take about an hour, they were told, but it actually took her more than 1.5 hours. 1.5 hours of intricate stitching on something as small as an ear. Wow. Praise God for the skill and the patience of that woman. Well, from there onwards, the rest, as they say, is history. By the Monday night, just 2.5 days after that accident, I was moved out of intensive care and into a normal ward. Not 3 weeks on a ventilator, not still intensive care as the doctors predicted. Nobody could believe it. By Friday night, just 6 days after the accident, the final tube was removed from my right lung and I was stitched back up. The only scars I still have today are two marks here on either side of my chest where they put drains in to remove the fluid from my lungs, and a very, very faint line on my right ear where it was stitched back together. By the following week, less than a fortnight after the accident, my fractured pelvis and broken ribs had all returned to exactly the correct position. It was clear from the x-ray where they'd all been broken, but everything started to fuse back together without the need for any further treatment. No strapping up, no plaster cast, no bandaging, no traction, and no bed rest. I left the hospital with little more than a couple of sticking plasters and simply went home. It was, and still is, the most remarkable recovery I have ever made from anything. I'm sharing this story because I want you to know that I believe God is still in the business of doing impossible things. And I believe in the power of prayer. I am absolutely certain that His faithfulness to me and to all who prayed on my behalf is the only reason that I'm still alive today. This story is obviously mine. The glory is undoubtedly God's. If we can get it working, what I want to show you, just to follow on from that testimony, is some pictures of the car. Said at the beginning this morning that this week is hugely significant in my life. It's not just because Wednesday gone was the anniversary of that accident. Because Wednesday coming is another type of anniversary. I'm going to turn 40 on Wednesday. That accident was 1 week before my 20th birthday, and we're now in the days leading up to a 40th birthday. And people talk about 40, big 4-0, a milestone. For me, it's a really significant one, because 40 also marks exactly half of my life as a hearing person, and half of my life since that accident as somebody who's becoming progressively deafened. And I just wanted to say that while some people have this really amazing testimony and people, wow, wish I had a testimony like that, it's not all hype, it's not all, I don't know how to explain this. I don't doubt for 1 minute God's faithfulness and his grace and his mercy to me. And I praise him for what he's accomplished in my life. But there's a reality too. And the reality is that following that accident, my hearing has become progressively worse. And I don't see that as a negative. I just see that as another direction God has taken me. That God has used something like the accident, an amazing testimony that he's given me, but also used it to change my life in another way. And this coming Wednesday that marks 20 years after that accident is 20 years of getting more and more involved in the deaf community, of a complete career change, of a completely different way of life for me, and a direction I never thought that I'd take. A couple of weeks ago, we went for a trip to the potting shed, and most of you did some ceramic pottery painting. Ruth and I did some decoupage. Never done it before. I've seen it, but never done it. We were told to go and find a sheet of what looked a bit like wrapping paper, very thin, like tissue paper, and to tear it up into pieces. Just literally tear this beautifully, lovely, colourful printed sheet of paper into pieces. And then take the pieces and stick them onto something else and make something new from them. And that's what I made. There's about 200 pieces of paper in that, glued together. And you know what? You can't see the cracks. And as I sat there in that workshop, I just felt God saying to me, 20 years on, look what I've done to your life. I can't see the cracks. Look what I've done to your life after that accident, with the pieces that could have left devastation and hurt and anguish and pain. Look what I've done with your life. I've taken the pieces and I've stuck them together again and I've made something new. And so I want to say this morning that yes, whilst it's 20 years on since I've become progressively more deafened, it's 20 years that God's been working in my life and he's making something new. And for all the positivity of that testimony and the negativity of the car accident, I just wanted to praise God this morning that he's still working in my life. And out of any situation, he still brings something beautiful.